Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, a few verses, and chapter 28, a few other verses. And I'm reading out of the Living Bible, which is a paraphrased translation of the scriptures. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and placed it in his own rock-hewn tomb and rolled a great stone across the entrance as he left. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting nearby watching. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be frightened," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he isn't here. For he has come back to life again, just as he said he would." And then later, just before Jesus ascended into heaven, Jesus told his disciples this: "Go and make disciples in all the nations, and be sure of this, that I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Well, it was more than 10 years ago when the surgeon from the University of Florida Veterinary School called me to say that our precious 5-year-old basset hound, Luke, wasn't going to make it. Like Tulip, our little rescue dog is tied to Linda and it's basically her dog now. Luke was always kind of my dog. He was always with me. Wherever I was, he was there. He had developed a cancerous tumor undetectable until it was too late, which quickly had spread, covering 85% of his stomach. Surgery couldn't remove it, and Luke continued to get weaker in the days which followed until that last day when he died. I just cried, as you can imagine, as he left us. The next day, our son Nathan drove to Gainesville from Tampa, where they were living at the time, with our youngest granddaughter, Ellie Kate, to help bury Luke's body in a special spot in the backyard. Hannah, our elder granddaughter, loved Luke too. She loves all creatures, large and small. But she was in school at the time, or she would have been there also with us. While Nathan and I prepared the gravesite in the backyard, Linda and our 4-year-old Ellie gathered flowers from all around the yard, all kinds of flowers of every shape, size, and color. And then Ellie assisted her dad and me by jumping into the hole that we had dug, troweling out her share of dirt. As we were about to lower Luke's body, wrapped respectfully in a box, down into the gravesite we had prepared, Ellie, having just joined the rest of us to pet Luke one last time, looked into my eyes as if to say, "Okay, enough of this make-believe stuff," and shared one last hopeful plea as she looked at me, almost as an appeal to me to do something she was sure I could do. "Granddaddy," she said, "I want him to be alive." Tears flowed, as you can imagine, from all of us, hearing Ellie express our own heartfelt hopes. We had fought for weeks to save his life, but it wasn't enough. Not here anyway. Not on this side of heaven. Not now. And we'll see him again one day, and that's a story and discussion for another day. A life, though, so precious, so full of grace and joy, gone much too soon. "I do too, sweetie," I mumbled through tears, but of course I was helpless to do anything to fulfill her plea. The way we felt that morning as we buried the body of our precious Luke was the way it might have been for Mary and Mary Magdalene and the disciples that Sunday, years ago, as they rose to face a hopeless morning. "Jesus, I want you to be alive," they'd no doubt thought, believing he was dead, wishing he wasn't. We're headed to Easter Sunday again in less than 2 weeks, and we remember on Friday, just 3 days before that Easter Sunday, Jesus was hanging on the cross. His friends and disciples had watched while he was spit upon, whipped to a bloody pulp, and mocked while hanging on the cross. They watched as he breathed his last breath on the cross, and then his body was taken away to be buried. They watched as the huge stone was rolled in front of the entrance to the tomb he was laid in. And they just sat, watched, and waited. For what? They weren't sure. Maybe something would happen. if you listen across the centuries, you can almost hear them whispering, Jesus, we want you to be alive. This is not how the story was supposed to end. We want you to be alive. And if the story ended there, it would not be much of a story, would it? But we know, 2,000 years later, that's not how the story ended. Mary and the disciples had forgotten what their Lord had said he would do 3 days later. Instead, they hung their heads, defeated, believing Jesus had breathed his last breath, unable to see that Sunday had come, unable to believe that he was alive. Without hope, they just sat there. I suspect, if we're honest with ourselves, some of us feel like Mary and the disciples did that morning so long ago. We go through moments like they went through then. Even though we know today what they didn't know then, we still have many dark mornings like that one they woke up to so many years ago. We've lost a loved one. We face decisions to make that wrench at our spirit and soul. An illness has returned. Finances are tight, and the future of our job is uncertain. A friend turns out not to be the friend we thought they were. Our children are going through things we can't seem to help them with. We struggle finding joy in our days. We've all been there, unable to see the sunlight coming our way just beyond the horizon. But that's not the rest of the story. And then we see that the tomb is empty. And the angel says, he is not here. He is risen. Go and tell the others and tell his disciples the empty tomb. Maybe there is hope after all, they thought. Maybe he is alive. But where is he? They wondered as they ran to tell the others. Yet even if the story ended there, it would still not be much of a story. An empty tomb, an empty hole in the ground, still not much of a story. But then they see him, and they knew he was alive. Christ their Lord has risen from the empty tomb. Their hope in tomorrow has been restored. Christ their Lord was risen. The cross, the empty tomb, the risen Christ for them and for you and for me forever with him when we accept him in our lives. But even that is not the end of the story. Well, what then is the rest of the story? Well, remember what Christ told his disciples just before he ascended into heaven. We read it just a moment ago. Go and make disciples, he said, in all the nations, and I am with you always, even to the end of the world. But what does that mean in our lives today and in the days ahead? A few years ago, I watched the movie entitled The Man Who Invented Christmas. It was the story of Charles Dickens writing the story, A Christmas Carol. Although not known as a great theologian, in his book, A Christmas Carol, Dickens gave us what I believe is a glimpse into what the rest of the Easter story might look like through the character in his book, Ebenezer Scrooge. Scrooge, a miserly, miserable, mean man, with more money than he knew what to do with, who led a soured, sad, and stingy life, was given a chance to change his life into something different, into something more, by the visitation of three ghosts on Christmas Eve. First, a visit from the ghost of Christmas past, showing Scrooge his wasted life of greed up until that point. Then the ghost of Christmas present, showing him the despair of humanity, both near him in Tiny Tim's crippled plight, and afar with the poverty in the streets and beyond, which Scrooge himself had turned his back on, all for the sake of money, all for the sake of himself. Finally, the visit by the ghost of Christmas future, who showed him what the world would be like if he continued on the course he was on, a dead Tiny Tim, and more. He showed Scrooge an empty hole in the ground in a dark cemetery awaiting his body for a funeral no one would attend, his, because no one would care. Those Christmas Eve visitations changed him. He began to live his life for others, to live the life which he was meant to live. My friends, the cross, it's part of the story. An empty tomb, still a part of the story. The risen Christ, hope for all the world, a part of the story. The risen Christ, accepted as your personal Savior, and mine, another part of the story. Then, answering the call of the risen Christ to go and make disciples, to touch and serve a lost and hurting world with the love and hope of the risen Christ. And now we have the rest of the story. The message of Easter, we celebrate again in a few weeks, is that Jesus Christ died, yes, but has risen and is alive for you and me, and that he is there to meet us in the most desperate as well as the most joyous moments of our lives. But the message of Easter also is that while Christ meets us where we are in our moments of need, he also calls us to follow him into the world. And he sends us out as his hands, his feet, and his heart, and his hope for all the world, to meet others at their points of need and share his love and lift their lives. Granddaddy, I want him to be alive. He is, sweetie. He is for you and for me. Christ the Lord is risen. Now, what in the world will you and I do with him, for him, and for others for the rest of the story of our lives? The rest of the story to go with the risen Christ, who is there for you and me into all the world, making an eternal difference in the lives of others, writing as we do the rest of the story of each of our lives. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this Lenten season, this time of where we pause, where we reflect, where we turn to you, where we become more that you want us to be. And thank you as we approach Palm Sunday, where Jesus entered Jerusalem into Holy Week, and then to the cross, but then to the empty tomb, to the risen Christ on Easter Sunday. Thank you for those remembrances that we embrace. But the reality of them is today. It is real. You are here, the risen Christ, accepted in our lives for eternal life. But help us, Lord, to be all you want us to be each day for everyone around us. Everyone you bring before us, everyone that we meet, might we be your hands, your feet, your heart, your hope for them and for all the world. Thanks for loving us. Go with us, push us, direct us, poke us, remind us that we are to be you to all the world. Thank you. Thank you for what you did for us and continue to do for us as you walk with us so that we might be all that you care for us and want us to be and created us to be so that we might do that for others. Thanks for loving us. In your son's precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.